I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest today is Klaus Nigel Pertl, German-Canadian, who was born in 1960 in Canada and 1 year later moved to Germany. He graduated with a degree in banking in Germany and then moved to London, obtaining a BBA in international business and banking, and working in London and New York for Standard & Poor as an analyst for German banks. Since 1997, he has worked as a mind coach and professional visualization trainer. He was personally trained by Jack Black from the Mind Store system in the UK. In the same year, together with Lothar Hernies, he became the co-founder of the nonprofit organization Krebs 21, a cancer center in the 21st century in Germany. In 2006, he became co-founder and managing director of the 3E Cancer Center with the internationally renowned cancer researcher Lothar Hernies. 3E Center has an alternative cancer program that is based upon knowledge and experience gathered from studying about 100 cancer centers all over the world and from studying with Dr. Joanna Budwick. The center is the only center worldwide that offers the original and strict Budwick diet for people with cancer. More information is available at www.3e-center.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Klaus, and I look forward to hearing about the holistic cancer program that you and Lothar have developed. Now, first, can you tell me about your background and also the background of Lothar Hernies?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, first of all, very much for having us on your show. It's a great pleasure.
Thank you.
It's a great honor that you want to find out more about our work. Let me tell you a little bit how I know Lothar Hernies. It's a difficult name, Hernies. It basically means brain iron, like the metal brain iron. So it's a very unusual name. So Lothar Hernies and myself, we met almost 40 years ago when we were very, very young and we played handball together. And from that time, I know him, so he's my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And Lothar has a background in nurse. He was trained as a medical nurse. And then he had a psychoanalytical training, especially for the topic of alcohol and mm-hmm. eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And he always worked in specialized clinics. So he's coming from a medical background, but he's not a medical doctor. Myself, my background is banking and finance, so if you like, commerce, and I worked as an analyst with Standard & Poor's, did an analysis for German banks, but that was like more than 20 or 30 years ago. It's 30 years ago, actually. So it's a long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So my background is more corporate world, if you like, but 20 years ago, I started to become a mind coach.
Mm-hmm.
I was trained in that subject by Jack Black in Great Britain. He's a Scottish guy. And the two of us then established about 20 years ago a non-profit organization called then People Against Cancer in Germany, because there's an American version from People Against Cancer in the U.S. with Frank Wiewel. And we became basically the sister organization in Germany,
mm-hmm.
but we now call it Cancer 21 because we believe people against cancer we don't like the idea of being against something. So we call it Cancer 21, which means cancer in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
So our background is non-profit then, helping especially people with cancer and informing them about alternative cancer therapies.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you mentioned that Lothar is a nurse, and you know I'm a nurse also.
Yeah,
and
I realized that, yes.
And my friend in Frankfurt that I mentioned, her husband is an analyst. And
oh, wow.
He has his couch in their house, and he has his patients lay on the couch when he does analysis. So he's from the old school. So I thought that was very interesting when I visited them. And the other thing I remember about them, I had traveled around Europe for a couple months, and then I stopped in Frankfurt, and the first thing Sabina did was serve me iced tea. And I said, "Sabina, you know, did you know I love iced tea? I love anything with ice in." She said, "Yeah." She said, "That's why I made the ice for you." Because she said, "Wow. I know how much you like ice in your liquids." And she said, "I know they don't serve ice around Europe." So
yeah, that's true.
I really appreciated that. Then you started to tell me why you started the 3E program. Is there anything you want to add as to why you and Lothar decided to do this?
Yeah. Lothar and myself, we played handball. Handball is a sport that's probably not so well known in the U.S. It is it's very popular here in Europe, and the second famous well-known sports group it's in Germany. So we both played handball. In our handball team, we had a friend. It was then, that was a long time ago, more than 30 years ago, a friend who got cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And he got testicular cancer. It sounded then, you know, they know what they're doing. And he went to a typical oncologist, and he had an operation on, made an operation on him, and he had chemo and radiation. And he was young, 25 then, and you know, so he survived, and everything was fine, and we never ever thought about it anymore. But then, about 12 years later, after that happened, at that time I lived in London, and Lothar called me and said, "Our friend, he has a lot of metastases, and it's basically come back very badly.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could talk to a lady, again, American lady, called Lynn McTaggart." And Lynn McTaggart is a medical journalist who writes very interesting books. And we published her book called What Doctors Don't Tell You. We published that, Lothar and myself, here in mm-hmm. Germany. And it's how we knew Lynn. So I called Lynn and said, "Lynn, our friend, what would you recommend?" And she recommended called Frank Wiebel in Iowa, from People Against Cancer in America. And I called him, and Frank mentioned that he would do this and that. And I was making all the notes, and I was really amazed that there are still other things you can do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I passed the information on to Lothar, and Lothar passed the information on to the wife of our friend. And with those information, the wife went to the oncologist and told him that. And now we know that wasn't a good strategy, because
right.
the oncologist was basically, I'm not quite sure if that's the right word, but he was pissed off, you know. He was really going bananas with mm-hmm. her, and she apologized that she ever wanted to say anything about alternative ideas. And having said that, a couple of days later, he died.
Oh,
and we then thought again, that's it. You know, we did our bit. We can't do more than that. But Frank Wiebel, interesting enough, and Lynn McTaggart, they told us that there's a big event in London about alternative cancer therapies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to Lothar, let's come. Can you please come over to London? Lothar lived in Stuttgart, and I lived in London, so he came over mm-hmm. from Stuttgart, and we said, let's go to this event, but also, you know, say thanks to Frank Wiebel for helping us, and Lynn and so on, and at least invite them for dinner. And that's how we got into talking to them, but they insisted, basically, we go to this big event on the next day with 700 people in the audience. It was amazing, and a lot of medical doctors mm-hmm. on stage and talking about alternative cancer therapies. And Lothar myself said, this can't be true, you know, otherwise mm-hmm. we would know about those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't imagine that it's true. But one question never left us, and this was the question, but what if it is true that there are options?
Mm-hmm.
And that started a journey for us. So then Lothar myself said, let's find out. And we personally traveled for 6 weeks at that time to different clinics and centers and spoke to the people who were there, the doctors and the people who were running the centers. And we were kind of like amazed that there's a whole group of people that think differently.
Mm-hmm.
And it just grabbed us, basically. And obviously Frank Weevil, again, informed us about all the craziness in the oncology. And now we know, but then we didn't know. So it was like a big journey that led us to then to make the decision, let's create a non-profit organization, as I said, it was 20 years ago, just to inform people what is around for alternative cancer therapies.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another interesting coincidence, because Frank Weevil introduced us to a, what do you call them, governor, I think governor of Iowa. Do you say governor? It was like And he set up an organization called Office of Alternative Medicine in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted somebody to travel to alternative clinics. And Lothar was doing that for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Lothar who went to about 100 clinics in around 30 countries worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing those clinics, and also he had two medical doctors with him. So there was always a team of three. And they basically met those clinics, the people that were in the clinics. And from all of that, he gathered a massive amount of information. And he's published a huge book. It's about 800 pages with all the information.
I have it.
Yeah, this really big, mm-hmm. big thing. And
it's expensive.
Chemotherapy.
It's expensive because I bought it recently.
At the moment, because it's out of print, yeah, and it's only available, unfortunately, secondhand.
Oh.
But it's called Chemotherapy Heals Cancer and the Earth is Flat.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like this this thing. And in those 800 pages, he put in a lot of information from those clinics. But the thing was, if somebody has cancer, and they would say, so what is available? And you have to read 800 pages,
mm-hmm.
then that can be daunting. And also now you have at least 100 different options, and that's a lot of options. So we were a little bit unhappy about so much confusion and so many different theories, because mm-hmm. there were a lot of theories, that we then made a big shift. And the big shift was asking, what have people done who survived cancer? Rather than talking to the clinics, rather than talking to medical professionals, let's talk to the people who survived cancer. And we, especially Lothar, started to interview them. And here he found out they're only doing three things. Well, they do more than three things, but mm-hmm. definitely they do three things. And those three things are elimination of toxins, detoxification, mm-hmm. that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Eating differently, so they mm-hmm. change the diet, that's number two. And we called it energy, so about stress and life and purpose and relaxation. And we realized they basically changed their life. And that was the three E's.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, wow, that is something we can tell people, because it's real. This is, you know, people tell us that. And at that point, we had at least 7,000 to 8,000 people we spoke to who had cancer at that point. So it's mm-hmm. we had a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people on the phone said, because we were still doing the whole thing on phone, a non-profit, you know, we just mm-hmm. tell them what we found. And then more and more people said, okay, if there are three things, where can I do those three things? Where can I learn them? And the answer was, we don't know. I don't think there's a place in the world that offers that. And eventually, that's now about 10 years ago, actually it's 10 years today, we made a decision to set up the 3E Center mm-hmm. in the south of Germany, and where we offer those 3Es. And that's basically how the journey came together, to set up first the nonprofit, and out of the nonprofit and the traveling around the world came the 3E program. And it's actually October, this year, October is the 10th year that our centers open.
Mm-hmm. And so those are the three components of your program, is that correct?
Yeah.
So it's eating, energy, and what was the other one?
Eliminate. of toxins and acidity in the body.
And does exercise fit under the energy?
Exercise, because we have become big fans of Dr. Johanna Budwig.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Johanna Budwig was, in a sense, against, let's call it sport. And if we see sport and exercise being closely together, then we would not recommend that. But what we would recommend is walking, mobility exercise, stretching, but not necessarily hard type of sport.
Right.
So not like riding the bike, running, jogging, heavy weight lifting, or any of that. So that we would not necessarily, especially for people with cancer, think it's the best strategy. So exercise, just the soft part, yes. But if it's too heavy, too strenuous, then no.
Right. Well, the reason I ask is that, now I wouldn't recommend the strenuous either, but the research recently shows that 50% improvement with exercise, which was a shock to me. I had a naturopathic doctor that I interviewed, and she told me that those that exercised more had a 50% greater survival rate than those who did not exercise.
Yeah.
And 35% for nutrition. Now, I would have thought it would have been the reverse, but it was 50% for exercise. So that was a shock to me that it was so high. But
yeah,
it's an important...
We associate a movement with well-being, and movement... movement helps to activate the lymphatic system, and the lymphatic system only gets activated if you move yourself. You know, if you move. So therefore, movement is amazing. It's very good. Blood circulation is very good because blood circulation helps to get nutrients to the body faster. So all of that, taking in more oxygen, is very good. But what we don't want, maybe we can say it like this, we don't want to produce a lot of lactic acid. So lactic acid is when you have this sore muscle, you know, that you can't move your leg anymore. That is when it, in our experience and thinking, it's not a good concept. But if you don't produce a lot of lactic acid, and this is why we like, you know, walking is fantastic, mobility exercise is wonderful, restorative yoga, qigong, Feldenkrais, all of those activities we love and they're wonderful. Now, I must say, with an active tumor, if somebody has an active tumor, I must specify that. If somebody doesn't have an active tumor, that's a totally different story.
Right. Now, a couple other questions that I have is the immune system. Do you do something, is that with eating, where you tackle, build up the immune system?
The immune system is quite an interesting one because Lota is very, very concerned about that we probably think that we have a problem in the immune system because for in his logic, and it's based on his observation of a lot of people, the immune system is actually not that bad because somehow the immune system is protecting the cancer cell. So it is actually working, it sounds a bit odd, but it's working quite well because it definitely protects a cancerous cell. So therefore, it might not be the immune system as is an issue. What we believe is an energy issue. And energy is that what the cells would need. And if the cells are not getting the energy that they need, then they might not be able to transform and to get out of a cancerous state into a normal, regular cell state, back to a normal state. Because Dr. Johanna Budwig was always about, let's make sure we get energy into the cells, we get oxygen into the cells, and then the cells can transform back to a normal cell. And that has been proven that this is possible even in university clinics here in Germany. Where you basically take a cancer cell, you take them out of a regular environment, no oxygen, no nutrients, and it transforms into a cancerous cell. Then you add nutrients and oxygen again, and it transforms back to a regular cell.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is our bigger focus. It's not so much on the immune work or immune system. Our focus is more on energizing the cells.
Mm-hmm.
And this is clearly based on Dr. Johanna Budwig's work.
Mm-hmm.
And we are obviously big fans because we met her personally. And I think I believe we're the only people that really understand, especially Lothar,
mm-hmm.
what the oil protein is all about, because we spent 4 years working with her, writing 2 books with her.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, nobody else has ever spent the time with her. I think we pretty much understand her concept, and this is why we follow a very strict and original Budwig diet in our center. And unfortunately, a lot of people use now Budwig, but they totally change it and add things to it that is not the original Budwig anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like they try to make it a vegan one, or they try to add some mm-hmm. vitamins, or they mm-hmm. try to add different cheeses and so on, and this is not original Budwig. So energy is our issue, Carl.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was on a vegan diet when I had lung cancer 42 years ago. That was mm-hmm. my diet. But the question I have about the Budwig is it because the Budwig diet increases the oxygen in the cells, and cancer cells want an environment without oxygen so that the cancer cells die in that environment? Is that the theoretical basis?
I try to explain it how I understood
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
It is basically a regular cell is not getting enough nutrients and oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
The cell therefore would in theory die. But cells then switch to a fermentation digestion, if you like. So the cells are not dying, and they become cancerous.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're lacking is, especially in the cell membrane, they lack the tension. The cell membrane has to have a certain tension, and it drops in cancerous cells. So in that environment, what the Budwig diet does is basically, with the mix of the quark is the protein
mm-hmm.
and the highly unsaturated fatty acids, that's the linseed oil, they get combined to a lipoprotein. And that lipoprotein is absorbed basically by the cells. And the cells then get the protein and the oil again, so that the cell membrane tension can increase again.
Mm-hmm.
Once the cell membrane tension has increased, then again oxygen can be taken in and nutrients can go in and it can divide into a normal cell again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's obviously a non-scientific,
mm-hmm.
from a non-medical person description of how I understood Budwig.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the key is, We have to make sure that the cell membrane tension goes up. Therefore, we have to eat highly energizing
mm-hmm.
Nutrients, and we have to make sure that the other energy stealers or robbers, you know, that steal energy from us, that they are mm-hmm. reduced to a minimum.
Mm-hmm. Then, Klaus, if I understand, then the cells revert to normal cells. Is that correct?
Yes.
Let me tell you what I took, which did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
My doctor prescribed, now realize this was 42 years ago, and
mm-hmm.
the research on this just came out about 2 years ago. My doctor put me on 200,000 international units of vitamin A for the first week, then 100,000 international units of vitamin A the second week, and then 50,000 international units for 1 year. And as you know, the recommended daily allowance is 5,000 international units. And also, vitamin A is a fat soluble, so that all excess is stored in the fat. And So that was a concern because unlike B and C that excretes the excess, you store the excess in the body. I told my doctor, I said, I'm concerned about this. And he said, but I'm giving you high-dose vitamin E that will take care of the toxicity. And I said, oh, okay. So E is another fat soluble, so I was taking high-dose vitamin E. But he told me that I needed to do this because the vitamin A would prevent the normal cells from converting to cancer cells. So a couple of years ago, they did research, because I review the research every week. They did research. They used cancer cells. They used precancer cells. They used normal cells. They used a component of vitamin A. It did nothing to the cancer cells. It did nothing to the normal cells. But it reverted the precancer cells back to normal. So the research showed that what my doctor had prescribed and told me 42 years ago was effective. So
amazing, isn't it?
Isn't that interesting that two things will do the same thing? And so I think that, you know, eventually it probably all will go back to energy in some sort, because I believe that energy is the basis of everything.
And absolutely. And this is where we probably believe the biggest focus in our program, because our program is a 5-week program. So people come to us for 5 weeks. And it's really not so, because in theory, you know, the Budweis and other things, you in theory can learn from, you know, from a natural path, or somebody could do a seminar, or that could be even be done online, or cooking book. But the key for us is the life change. So we because Budweis said this, you know, my wonderful quark is amazing, but if the woman, she was referring to a woman, has to go home and her husband is still hitting her, it doesn't help her.
Right, right.
Because the stress, the source of the stress is not gone. Now, she eats well, but her body is still under stress. Her mind is under stress. So therefore, I think the key for us is the life changes, because cancer is not like, even if it's still unsure what it's 100% what it is, I mean, we still argue what cancer really is, but we believe in our experience it has a lifestyle issue. It's definitely a lifestyle topic, because it doesn't happen like an accident. It doesn't happen overnight. There's a certain process happening. It's like if somebody gets type 2 diabetes, or if somebody gets overweight, or somebody who has arthritis. All those things usually build up over time. They're not happening. So in our thinking, it's just logical to look at your lifestyle and to see what is not good in your lifestyle. And the obvious things are, you know, smoking and drinking alcohol and eating maybe too much meat and not having enough exercise and not, you know, walking enough. And that's the obvious one. But there are very often people who are very healthy, even vegetarians, you know, they don't smoke, they don't drink, they're not overweight, and they get cancer. And then they get totally frustrated because they say, what's happening to me? I lived a wonderful, in that sense, lifestyle. And what they're leaving out is the life stress. And that's where we're focusing a lot on, so that we say, okay, what is not okay in your life? You know, what is your body saying no to? What is your mind saying no to? And that's, for us, the key bit, we believe, because we the symptoms, in theory, could be stopped with anything. I mean, you know, there are so many things that could stop a symptom. If it's aggressive substance and probably chemo or radiation, and it might be softer approach with hypothermia or maybe with mistletoe. So but they're all focusing on the symptoms. And in some cases, that's what you need to do because the symptoms are too big. But once the symptoms are gone, we believe cancer is not gone, because the lifestyle has not changed. So therefore, we focus on what is the lifestyle that we want to change. And that's the third E, you know, the energy, the mind, the stress. And that, for us, makes the big, big difference. Because you need time for that. That's not something you can do on a weekend. It's not something you do on a telephone call. It's not something you can do in a book. Mm-hmm. You need to really look at, and we focus on only on three questions, you know, what needs to stop, who am I if I'm really authentic, and if I'm authentic, what do I really want to do in my life?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
those are all energy-giving questions. I mean, if you find the answers, they will give you energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that energy for us is as important as the food, as a detox, and sometimes supplements, and sometimes other treatments, mm-hmm. because that is for us looking at the cause. Life one, in a sense, has to stop, the old life,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
life two, you know, the new life needs to start. And we had a wonderful example. There was a young man who came to us 10 years ago, and he had cancer, I believe Hodgkin's or non-Hodgkin, I'm not quite sure, but mm-hmm. he had one of those cancers. And his doctor was not very supportive, and he basically said to him, look, I don't know what's going to happen to you, but it doesn't look good. And then this young man made a decision, and he said, I got cancer not to die younger, but to live longer. And later he explained what he meant by that, because cancer, in a sense, helped him to look at all of his life,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
the work, the marriage, the children, what you want to consume or not consume, what is important in life and what's not important. And I thought that's a good thinking. And this is where we want to focus on, you know, so that cancer becomes a springboard for a new life and hopefully a life that is more aligned to what we always wanted, probably.
Mm-hmm. If I understand then correctly, Klaus, you put more emphasis on reverting the cancer cells to normal cells than to killing, in quotes, the cancer cells. Which,
yes.
And people, as you say, probably misunderstand the Budwig diet, because I've known people who have gone on the diet, but they also will take Laetril, they'll eat apricot kernels, they'll
yeah.
eat some of the things that are known as cancer killers, they'll include things in their diet, the spices and the herbs and things that are cancer killers, so they put a lot of emphasis on the cancer killing also.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like that may not necessarily be needed.
Yes, exactly. And again, we based this on Budwig.
Mm-hmm.
Budwig had about 3,000 cancer patients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In about 40 years, she treated them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting story is this, by the way, Carl, that about 50% of her patients were medical doctors or relatives of medical doctors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they, interestingly, a lot of them at least, went to her. And she always said this, the body has the ability to reverse it, but mm-hmm. people just don't trust and believe in the body.
Right.
But therefore, she said, we need more time. This is the whole only issue.
Mm-hmm.
With Budwig, it takes longer.
Mm-hmm.
for the body to respond. So that's why if somebody is in a very traumatic situation and, you know, and the cancer presses on, like in a brain situation, and you know, the cancer is growing dramatically, and if it grows next 2 weeks, you can't speak anymore, you can't walk, you can't talk anymore, you need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
There are the limitations in a sense. But if you had like a tumor or cancer situation where the symptoms are not dramatic at this stage, then you would have the time for that. So that's the only thing. So Budwig is a longer-term process, but it's pure. I think it's the most intelligent,
mm-hmm.
the most natural, and the most logical concept.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to believe that your body can do it. If you don't believe
right.
it, you're frightened every night. And then you think, oh my God, I have something in my body, I hate that, and every night you can't sleep, then it's probably better to have an operation or
right.
do chemo or do something else to
right.
reduce
right.
the tumor.
Right.
But if you're not stressed so much by it and understand that the body has to build up these cancerous cells at the moment, and that is probably a protective system in a sense, that's why we always think this is why the immune system protects it, because it has to do it. So it's not an unnatural response. So we don't believe that the body is stupid. We believe the body is very intelligent, probably more intelligent than a doctor, and that body knows what it's doing. But if you then obviously not responding to it and not taking the changes, then obviously it will kill you. But if you would then realize it is not at this point that it will kill me, but it can kill me, and I definitely need to change something, then that is the logic of Budwig. Then the body is able to do that. Yeah, absolutely, So she was not a big fan of taking any kind of toxic substance, if it's natural toxins or artificial toxin. She very rarely recommended it, only in emergency situation, and sometimes there is a situation where you have to do it. But other than that, no, body is able to reverse. That was her experience. And and she showed us cases, and we were just like, my oh my. We were totally impressed with that. So yeah. Seen it now after 10 years in our center as well. So it happened there as well. So there is proof that it is possible.
You mentioned that this takes longer. Now, I use Laetril and pancreatic enzymes and a variety of herbs and supplements and a vegan diet. And then I added prayer, meditation, affirmations, visualizations, and so forth. And it took 2 years. Yeah. So it's not a quick thing with many of the alternative, but I didn't have a recurrence either. So in 40 years since, I've never had a recurrence, which most chemo or traditional patients can't say that, because it's so often their recurrences.
Exactly. And this is how our journey started with our friend, because he was healed, you know, from a oncologist point, he was healed. And he died, you know. What is that?
Now, Klaus, tell me more about the diet. I assume that there is protein in the diet, but I'm not sure about that. Can you tell us about the
diet? There is this, the quark. The quark is basically like a cottage cheese.
Right.
And this is a low-fat cottage cheese that has the proteins there. The good thing is they are kind of like pre-digested, so it's not heavy on the liver. And therefore the liver can continue with detoxing the body. So Budwig wanted something that is not that doesn't need heavy digestion. So the quark has it has the protein, and the linseed has the highly unsaturated oily acids. Fatty acids. And if you combine them, the interesting thing is, and you have to add some milk to it, if you combine it, it produces not a dairy, because she didn't allow dairy product.
Right.
But this, interesting enough, is not a dairy product anymore. She called it a lipoprotein. A lipoprotein. And that lipoprotein then can be transported, if you like, through the body and can get access to the cells. And you will have enough protein and enough fatty acids. So that's a good thing. And by the way, there's also the aspect of raw vegetables and also carbohydrates are allowed, but very specific, Only like buckwheat, some sometimes potatoes, some rice, those kind of things, but definitely not the typical carbohydrates like sugar, cake, biscuits, bread, none of those things. So, but there is a carbohydrate element to it, so it's not like a ketogenic diet.
There's no protein then beyond the quark in the the mixture. Oh, great, good.
Yeah. Not so, not in an active tumor stage. If then the tumor stage is improving, or the symptoms are gone and there is improvement shown, then you can add like fish, or you could add high quality beef. But she mainly was a fan of fish, then maybe now and then some fish. But at the moment, the issue with the fish is probably they're having too much heavy metals, especially the bigger fish. So that's not a good thing either at the moment, unfortunately.
Right. Well, that's good then to know. My diet was 75% raw fruit and vegetables. And then I could have some cooked beyond that. and then I could have nuts and grains.
But exactly.
No,
nuts is also, she recommended nuts as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I could have no protein. I took a pre-digested protein, so it would be somewhat similar to the, you know, her diet, because you said that was a easier absorbable protein. And
exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And it's not so heavy on the livers, because she always mm-hmm. wants to make sure that the liver is doing other important work.
Mm-hmm. Well, the pancreas, too, was one of the concerns
yes.
when I had the cancer. This is very interesting. I appreciate this, Klaus. Tell us a little bit about the people then that you have working in your center that help carry this out.
Yes. Now, we have, there's usually about 10 to 12 people coming mm-hmm. for a group.
Mm-hmm.
That's about 5 weeks, as I said, 5 weeks time they stay with us. And it's a center where we have altogether about 20 staff, 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
Some are full employed and some are part-time employed. When we do we have colon hydro, for example, we do sometimes infusions, and we do some, if you like, homeopathic applications. That is done by alternative practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
In Germany, that's below a medical doctor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they are allowed to do certain things, but not all the things that a medical doctor can do.
Mm-hmm.
And we have medical doctors as well, general practitioners, so that when the people arrive in our center, they see in the first few days the medical doctor. And that is more just to make sure that the people are fit and there is no medical contraindication to attend a program in our center, because we are not a hospital and we're not providing medical support
mm-hmm.
over
mm-hmm.
the 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So in case somebody would need medical support, or they can't breathe, or they can't eat, then that is not we would not be the right place for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is why we have a medical doctor, general practitioner, to see them. And also, if later they might need some medications, then they can write a prescription.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the rest would be people like chefs and cleaning staff and coaches that do, you know, one-on-one sessions. So this is they're all basically trained in alternative or holistic treatments, and we want to create a more family-type atmosphere. And you can see already roughly 20 people for about 12 people. That is a very personal environment, and it's a very big place. It has altogether 16,000 square foot. 16,000 square foot is the center,
mm-hmm.
and we have a big land around it next to the forest. So it's a very relaxed environment, and we want this kind of personal relationship, because we want to help them learn from what people have done who survived cancer, and that they have enough time in a safe environment to make new decisions and to learn the Budwig protocol, to learn what is simple enough detoxification, but most importantly, that they are okay in changing their life. And then, you know, from a logical point and from experience point, there is a shift happening, because if something happens in your behavior, if something happens in the way you eat and live, your body will respond automatically to it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even if it takes a bit longer as the a typical treatment, which is usually, you know, like take a pill and 2 days later you're fit.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening. But it's more lasting, like you experience yourself and we experience this as well.
Mm-hmm. Who handles the stress part?
Yeah, we have basically people who do like meditation trainers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one of my part is also that, but I'm actually more focused on the idea of creating a new future.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
that it's basically helping them to say it's time to create a new life.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
what kind of future would you like to do? But I obviously learned all those meditation and relaxation techniques, and they are a foundation, and we have meditation and relaxation coaches that work with them in the first 2 weeks. So week one, if maybe I give you a rundown, week one is relaxation, first of all. We have to basically get into the parasympathetic nerve system, and that's the repair and the digestive process in the body, and that needs to be constantly supported. So relaxing, coming down, week one. Week two is about visualization. Then we add visualization to the whole thing so that we basically put in intention and through visualization, experiencing the future and experiencing the emotions already. Mm-hmm. And that again will affect the body system. Third week is about self-love, because we believe in cancer. It is very, very important to start loving yourself, especially your body and your life, and there's things to be to forgive. And so the self-care, the self-love is very important. That's week three.
Mm-hmm.
And then week four and five, that's my part. Then we work on creating confidence for the future, and then we're also working on creating a pull into the future and creating a new excitement for life. Mm-hmm. And that's where I focus mainly on.
Mm-hmm. Other than the meditation, possibly, I don't hear a lot of spiritual aspects. Am I missing those?
There is, obviously, through the practice of meditation, mm-hmm. there is for us definitely a spiritual experience in a sense. Because if you learn to get still, and if you learn to kind of like be centered again, and if you can learn to stop the inner chatter and the worrying mm-hmm. voices, mm-hmm. and there is suddenly an awakening, in a sense, an experiencing of there is a place of stillness, and that place, in that place, nothing is wrong, everything seems to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you then sense that experience, that is for us almost a spiritual awareness, mm-hmm. that there is an element of us that is not based on logic, it's not necessarily based on emotions,
mm-hmm.
it's not based on physical components, but it has to do with, call it, a higher energy. Mm-hmm. And if you can definitely sense and experience that,
mm-hmm.
and that only comes through stillness in our experience,
mm-hmm.
then that element will come in. But I have to say that not everybody
mm-hmm.
will experience it that way. They mm-hmm. might say, I had a wonderful relaxation, and it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not necessarily experiencing anything more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that it's also okay,
mm-hmm.
because if it shows up, it shows up. If it doesn't show up, it will not show up at this point. It might show up later.
Mm-hmm. The reason I brought this up is that there is so much now on some of the spiritual things I used as I took, well, affirmations you didn't mention either. And I think these go along so nicely with the visualization, and also are powerful things to use to help a person change. But there, I use like faith, patience, forgiveness, serving others. But there's a lot of things coming out now on the value of forgiveness, gratitude, optimism, being positive, some of these things that are so important in recovery from any illness or in preventing illness, which to me are part of a holistic approach. And
absolutely.
That's why I ask about, I call these spiritual, but other people call them other things. And so sometimes people use them, but when I explain, they say, oh, well, we do that. But they don't identify them the way I do as spiritual aspects.
Exactly. Because the reason why I'm also thinking we do have those experiences, but it mm-hmm. is not like a specific focus.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that if you are calm and still, and that's the practice, obviously, of meditation,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
something's gonna happen to you. Now, therefore, there is this energy, and that energy is, I think, in many cases, the only reason people survive.
Mm-hmm.
It has definitely nothing to do with the body anymore. Because in some circumstances, people are, you know, just not able to eat anymore, or not able to walk anymore. And then they 2 weeks later, they're up and running again. And you think, mm-hmm. what happened here? So there is clearly this element, but it's so difficult to grab and difficult to describe.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we are open for all types of religions. So we're mm-hmm. not...
Oh.
We want to make sure that everybody mm-hmm. feels okay, because the meditation process comes more from the Eastern direction, but we have Christian people or people from other religions, and for them it's sometimes a bit odd to think about that, because they say, I already talked to God, you know, what is happening here?
Mm-hmm.
And so we are open for all that, and we don't say it mm-hmm. has to be mm-hmm. a spiritual thing, but mm-hmm. we know there is a spiritual experience, and people will, who are open for that, have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't go through 5 weeks of meditation and not having some
right,
realization. Right. And it's probably very often more a realization. You realize something by sensing something.
Mm-hmm.
And that has an amazing effect, because now that you've experienced it, that is, makes a difference. And I think one element, Carl, is this, that a lot of people that come to us, for example, we have a lot of people who are like psychoanalysts mm-hmm. or who are come from a medical background, are engineers, and all a lot of people who, if we say, so what is your lifestyle? They say, well, you know, I eat well, and I know about relaxation, and I heard about it, I've done it in the past. But the key is this. Knowing doesn't mean they're doing it.
Right.
And so the 5 weeks is not necessarily about realizing new things, mm-hmm. but doing them maybe for the mm-hmm. first time for mm-hmm. 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so the doing is for us the key.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing, some things will happen in that experience, in our experience.
Mm-hmm. Do you have some parting words on your program? And then if you will tell us about your program and about the book and any products that you have and how the listeners can find out more information.
Yes. The 3E program is at the moment only offered in Germany, the south of Germany, close to Stuttgart. And it is designed, as I said, for people who want to learn the 3 things that we found out that people have done who survived cancer. It's this, the eating. We do the Dr. Johanna Budwig, and I believe the only original mm-hmm. Dr. Johanna Budwig diet, and the strict one, especially with cancer. Secondly, we do the detox. That's maybe some of the things you might know already. And I think the key part is the mind part,
mm-hmm.
so that we look at the cause of cancer and not the symptoms only. So that is, for us, the purpose of our center. And small groups, staying together for 5 weeks, and learning a new lifestyle, in a sense, and going out with a new refreshed confidence, but also new abilities, and definitely a new sense of their body and life. We see cancer in a different way. We don't see it as an enemy. We see the body can reverse it. We believe in that. Now, that is not necessarily for a big group of people, but it's just for a small group of people, this might be mm-hmm. very, very interesting. We have an English website called 3E, and then there's this little minus sign, and then center with the T-R-E at the end. So CENTRE.com, 3E minus this minus sign, center.com. There you can read more about it, and you can get more information about the program. It is, to give an indication, it's about 11,000 euros. I'm not quite sure what that is in dollars. It might be a bit less or more dollars.
Mm-hmm.
That's all included for the entire program. And we do have people from America, people from abroad coming to our center. We have from 12 people, usually 2 to 3 people, sometimes 4 people coming from abroad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting group of people. They're highly informed. They're interesting personalities, obviously. And they all have the same vision, that they can heal themselves, in a sense, and the body is able to reverse it. And they want to learn what others have done. And our purpose is to pass that information on.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I appreciate this very much, Klaus. It's been very interesting, and I'm glad to hear more about Dr. Budwig's diet and how you're implementing this with other aspects of care, so I know it will be helpful to the listeners.
Anytime, if you let me know what information I can provide, and then I think potentially our website helps with many information, but we are definitely open for questions. Contact us on the website. There's an email. You can contact us. And we'll be very, very happy to answer all those questions.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carl, for this opportunity. And we're very, very pleased that we were asked to be part of this show. Very honored and very happy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I look forward to seeing you next time. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.